If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jahad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the studio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to have you back in the studio, shedding light on some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature, like the previous episodes that we have been doing based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And my first question, Sheikh Javid, is it necessary or obligatory for women to observe hijab or the Islamic dress code in recommended prayers, such as the night prayers, for example? Mm-hmm. And if it is not observed, will the prayer be valid?
Right.
Or invalid?
That's a good question, because many people think that, okay, since the prayer is mustahab, and there's nothing mandatory about it.
Yes.
So probably the hijab requirement will also be easier. There would be less requirement.
Yes.
That's a misconception on the part of many ladies, for example. The truth of the matter is that for women, the same hijab requirements apply even in mustahab prayers, in recommended prayers, as in, yes, just as they apply in obligatory prayers. So if a woman intentionally neglects hijab in prayer, and that is, okay, supposedly the mustahab prayer, the prayer becomes invalid. So the hijab requirement is part of the condition of salah, and it makes no difference whether the salah is recommended or mustahab, whether it is a kind of a specific prayer like Salatul Ayat or maybe Salatul Layl, whatever prayer, and whether the prayer is mustahab or wajib, of course, hijab must be observed under all circumstances as long as the woman is praying, offering mustahab or wajib prayer.
Yes. Well, somebody asked, my daughter has just reached bulugh or puberty and cannot fast.
Right.
What is her duty?
Well, in the event that a girl reaches the age of bulugh, it's usually marked by completing nine lunar years.
Yes.
So she becomes religiously obligated to fast in Ramadan, and she cannot bring up any kind of excuses for not fasting. If she can fast, she must fast. And she cannot break the fast merely due to maybe hardship or kind of weakness or discomfort, because, of course, fasting is obligatory, and it is kind of hard, especially in the summer season. It does cause some kind of weakness at the end of the day. The person feels some kind of discomfort. This cannot be cannot serve as an excuse for breaking the fast. But if fasting is genuinely harmful to the girl's health, or it is so difficult that it causes unbearable hardship, of course, then she is exempt from that day of fasting, and she must make up the fast later whenever she can. And if she cannot make it up due to maybe prolonged hardship, then further rulings such as fidya may definitely apply.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
The
followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Chabid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Chabid, if we know that, for example, one of the clothes we have,
yes,
is ritually contaminated or najis,
right?
But we don't know which one of our clothes, right? Then a kind of moisture touches one of these clothes,
right?
All right, or comes in contact with one of these clothes. Is that moist or wet object, in fact, becoming najis or ritually contaminated?
You're right. It's a good question. Well, if you know that one of several clothes is ritually impure, but you do not know which one, mm-hmm. and a wet pure object touches one of them,
mm-hmm.
that could be the najis one, that could be the pure one, but there are many clothes, one of them is najis. So the pure cloth, which is wet, touches that one of those clothes. That object or that clothing remains pure according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khomeini. The reason is that certainty of impurity is required. There is no certainty that impurity was transferred to the pure cloth. And since there is no certainty, there is no yaqeen. And in this case, of course, that individual has only doubt. He is not, or she is not certain, okay? When you are not certain, you cannot consider your impure cloth as your pure cloth as impure.
As impure.
Yes. Doubt does not make something najis. That is the point. And unfortunately, when it comes to practice, many people, many ladies especially, act quite differently.
Mm-hmm.
They consider that pure cloth to be impure simply because it came into contact with one of those clothes in the state of wetness.
Yes.
Yes.
But when they are doubtful.
When they are doubtful.
But if they are certain that one of their clothes, in fact, is najis.
Yes.
Right? But in fact, he confuses the clothes.
Yes.
He's certain that one of the clothes is najis. Or she's certain, right? Yes.
She's certain that one of many clothes,
yes,
is najis.
Right.
One of many clothes. And this is the scenario we discussed.
Uh-huh.
This is the scenario we discussed. There's one cloth out of many clothes. For example, there are 10 clothes.
Clothes,
one,
yes,
of them is najis.
Okay.
But this impure cloth in the state of wetness comes into contact with one of those clothes.
Right.
One of those clothes. And she is not certain in this case whether it came into contact with the najis one. She does not know and,
uh-huh,
cannot find out which cloth is the najis one.
Right.
So in this case, the pure cloth cannot be treated as impure.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Chabid. Let's take a break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javed Hossein's program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, if someone has backbitten or slandered an individual, how can they repent from all these sins? Or any one of them, should they seek the consent of the backbitten or a slandered individual?
Right. Well, backbiting is one of the major sins. And the scholars have, and the Quran actually has clearly stated that it's just tantamount to eating one's brother's flesh. So it's absolutely forbidden. And of course, whoever commits this grave sin must seek divine forgiveness, and he should repent. Repentance involves several steps. Mm-hmm. One, repenting to Allah sincerely and asking forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Okay. Generally speaking, the scholars have said that if a person has a feeling of remorse, a feeling of regret, and he is ready to restitute, to make compensation, that's enough. It's not necessary to verbally say, okay, astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Okay? That is a verb. It's just a verbal form of repentance. The true repentance is to have a feeling of regret and having the intention to make restitution, to make up for the mistake he has done. This is the first step. The second is that one has to correct any false impression that he has caused. Mm. Okay, if someone's reputation has been damaged, which obviously damages someone's reputation, backbiting, because backbiting causes someone to be lowered in the eyes of other people,
or to lose face.
Yeah, to lose. Yes, that is it. So he must correct that impression. And the third one is to seek forgiveness from the wronged person, if possible, and if it is safe to do so. Mm. Because sometimes it will have negative repercussion, maybe it will have negative reaction from that side of the... And it will make things worse.
Yes.
So if it is safe, he can seek forgiveness from that wronged person. Mm. Otherwise, it's not necessary. And if seeking forgiveness may cause greater harm or humiliation, then one should pray for the wrong person and ask Allah to forgive him, and to forgive his sins. And also, this is what he can do. This way, of course, both the rights of Allah and the rights of the people, haqqun nas, are addressed.
Yes, but if that individual being backbitten or slandered has deceased, then there's no access. What can they do?
Seeking divine forgiveness and, of course, let's say praying for that wrong person.
Mm.
Praying for his forgiveness, or giving some kind of charity on his behalf to compensate for that
individual. But if that individual is still alive, but they don't forgive, what can these individuals do?
The only thing he can do is seek divine forgiveness. If he doesn't forgive, he should pray, and of course, maybe seeking forgiveness from the wronged person, it is not necessary. If it is possible, if it is safe, it's okay. Otherwise, he should simply seek divine forgiveness. And inshallah, God might forgive him.
Yes.
Because it has something to do with haqqun nas.
Yes.
Someone's reputation, someone's his honor has been damaged irreparably.
I see.
And if that has happened, then nothing can be done.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Thank you, my dear audience, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Javed, and the host of this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker, will be at your farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو رحيم